Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. I want to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them over there in St. Louis, Missouri, in the Dot Zack building in the Grand Center area. Come by anytime, but on every Friday they'll have new music happy hour going on. They'll have new record spinning, and they'll have new music. This Friday, August 11th, they'll have records from Portugal, The Man, Coldplay, Foster the People, The Districts, Guardians of the Galaxy 2 soundtrack, and much, much more. Find full details at musicrecordshop.com. You can follow along on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Shop 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com. And this year, Music Record Shop is also the official sponsor of Lubefest. So be sure to follow along and figure out how you can win yourself some Lubefest tickets this year. Again, all details, musicrecordshop.com. Check it out. This episode of Rock Paper Podcast is brought to you by Gigabit Rocks. Check it all out at gigabitrocks.com. They're one of the best online tools for meeting artists regionally and nationwide, and they want to help you plan your next tour. It's essentially a great tool for networking and linking up with artists all over the country, and then they can help you pack your next show in their city. So reach out on gigabitrocks.com. Check them all out on your social media, your Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And whether you want a gigabit more or a gigabit less, one thing's for sure, Gigabit Rocks.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hey, this is Rick Killian, and you're listening to the Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today at St. Louis Bread Company with Rick Killian.
Hey.
Welcome to the show, man.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, this is exciting stuff. I kind of told you when we sat down, like, I love that about this show, that I can constantly discover new music, and that's the case today, man. Like, we just recently become friendly online, and you said, hey, let's hang out, and I listened to your, you got some recordings and stuff, but a lot of it's, I love getting the opportunity to kind of sit down and get to talk to you and get to know more about you and what you're up to and stories behind these songs and that kind of stuff. It's just a lot of fun. So the show is a good excuse for that, to keep discovering new music in town.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about some of your stuff, man. Like, you were just kind of giving me a little backstory, but you guess you didn't grow up in St. Louis until, what, high school or something?
Yeah. I'm not native to St. Louis, but my family moved here when I was 14 years old, so that's when I moved to St. Louis and started living here, and that's also when me as, like, a songwriter kind of blossomed out, too.
Right.
Obviously, like, 14 years old is kind of just getting into high school and everything. I think it was, like, the second semester of freshman year of high school, so it's kind of, like, formative years and all, like, so I grew up in a small town in Iowa, and so I moved, like, all my friends, and this was before, like, the age of Facebook and social media and everything, so, like, they all went away, and I had, like, nobody, and moved here, and so I kind of turned to songwriting and guitar playing and piano playing and all that as kind of, like, my outlet of, I didn't know anybody, so I could just, like, hide in my own music kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine that's a pretty common story for a lot of young songwriters. I mean, like, yeah, you know, just kind of... it was their thing, and then all of a sudden, hey, maybe I should share this with someone.
Yeah, it's definitely my outlet. And then, yeah, as I got older and wrote and, started writing more and hit college level, I was like, maybe, I should let other people hear this. It was my thing for a long time, but now I'm interested to see what other people think of that stuff and what, I know what it does for me, and I know the messages behind the songs and what they mean to me, and then trying to see how other people react to those and how other people respond to those, emotional stimulus.
Yeah. So what's 14-year-old Rick writing about?
14-year-old Rick is, oh man, what was I writing about back then? Oh, I don't know. I was probably, like, really angsty and writing about, you know, being upset about people not wanting to call me on the cell, like, on the phone or something, you know?
Was it always, like, a similar tone, like what you have now? Or was it, like, were you writing more punk or rock or anything?
Back then it was a lot of... I was primarily writing on guitar back then, but it was a lot of almost more like ballady stuff. I was very like, I don't want to say I was like very emotional, but it was a lot more kind of trying to be like heartfelt and, sure. and ballady and love songs and stuff like that. You know, there's a couple songs that are going to be on the new album that still like look back to that. Songs like Brooklyn, Out of Time, those all are very similar to that. But yeah, that was pretty much all that back yeah. then. It wasn't... I still have a CD that I put out in high school, and occasionally I'll go listen to it. I think it's the only version of that that still exists. I think my dad had it somewhere buried away, which is cool, but I listened to it earlier this year, and some of it was really cool, but it's a lot of kind of sappy, emotional stuff.
Sure. Yeah, I was talking to... they'll be on the show tomorrow. Well, I'll be sitting recording with them tomorrow as we're recording this one. But these guys, Callaway Circus, they're yeah. a two-piece, and they're real young guys, still in high school. And I got in a nice conversation outside of their show with one of the guy's dad, and it was kind of cool like to kind of get his story. Of his son's music
sure.
and stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just mentioned your dad and, like, how, like, he was saying that, you know, they didn't really know what it was. You know, he was, like, he said, Ben was down in his room messing around making music and stuff, and then he comes up and he's like, hey, I got a CD, you know, some music I made. And he's like, they popped it in. He's like, man, there's something here.
Right.
And, like, so it was cool to see them embrace it and keep pushing him to...
Yeah.
And,
And that's kind of how I did it, too. You know, it was I'd go to school and come home and then go down into the basement. That's where my room was. I'd go down to the basement. I would just play for hours and write songs. And then all of a sudden I was like, hey, I'm going to go buy an SM58 and throw this behind a piano and record, you know, 10 tracks or something to make yeah. it a CD. And that's what I did. But and I kind of was. In some ways, I wish I put some of that out. But I've been really shy, even though I like to go out on stage and play for people and entertain and stuff. I'm still, like, very withdrawn and kind of shy about all that stuff, so I was, like, really scared about, like, how people would... You know, it's your, like... Those songs are, like, whenever you write a song, it's your baby, you know? And mm-hmm. you don't want to, like, go out there and be like, oh, that's ugly, that's terrible. So it took a long time to get comfortable with the fact that, like, you may not like it, but I'm cool with that.
Right. I think that's the... And again, I think, like, I've done enough of these interviews now, and it's, like, it is kind of a... funny to me, like when you see some guy, you know, he's this rock star on stage, and then you put a mic in front of him, you know, in an interview, and then they clam up, you know, they don't want to talk. It's like, but it's kind of a, you know, how different people are on stage and off stage, you know. It's like, again, you know, you're saying being real shy
yeah,
in person, but
you know, I all my friends that are musicians, we always talk about, you know, being on stage is, people think it's this big scary thing, and to us. To me and to other musicians that I talk to, I feel like a lot of times being on stage is almost like its own security blanket, you know?
Sure.
I can go on there and, you know, if I was in a big bar, I wouldn't want to go, like, hang out in the bar. I'd be the guy that's sitting in the corner not interacting. And to me, being on stage is just like, I'm in the corner, but there's a spotlight up there. Like, I don't really have to talk to a bunch of people. I just do my thing and make people happy. But it's kind of my way of being withdrawn from actually everything that's honestly going on in the bar.
Right.
And I think a lot of guys feel the same way about performing.
Sure. So now you know, you've been at it for a while. We're working on a brand new record.
Yeah.
What are, you know, we were saying that some of that early stuff was more ballad stuff. I mean, how do you feel like this has evolved into... what you're doing today now,
sure, yeah. So the new album, you know, as I got older, I switched from writing, you know, pure kind of sappy emotional love songs, and now I really try to write a few songs on an album that have that kind of emotional pull. But then I really just want to, like, try to make, like, fun songs, happy songs, things that people can get up and dance to, you know. That's really what I want. I want people to put in a record and just have like a good time and have a smile on their face when they're listening to it, because those are the records that I really liked and that I found really enjoyable, you know. And when someone first gave me, you know, Whatever and Everyman by Penfolds 5, and I put that in, and it just like knocked my socks off, and I'm sitting there like driving around going, holy crap, what is going on? This is the most amazing thing I've ever heard. And not necessarily because it's like super complex or anything, but just it's really fun upbeat songs. So that's kind of what I'm hoping for this record. The majority of the record is fun upbeat songs. So
we currently only have the demo versions. We're working on wrapping up the record. Where are you recording this at?
We're going to record it at Shock City Studios.
Okay,
that's where I want to go record it at. Me and the guys are working on kind of putting the final touches on the arrangements of everything. You know, like you got the demos, and the demo to me is, I love the demos because it's completely 100% me. It's, you know, I'm doing all the instruments on it, I'm playing everything on it, I'm singing everything on it, and I love taking that and then giving it to the trio, right? My drummer, my bass player, who are incredible musicians, and just like getting to see what they do with it. And so they take that, you know, rough sketch that is a demo, and then we flesh it out into something completely, you know, new and awesome. So, you know, if you come to a show, you're going to get more, you're going to get like actually what the songs are going to sound like, and they're slightly different. So Shock City Studios, hoping to get in and wrap it up near the end of this year, and then the record will be ready hopefully early 2018.
Nice.
Yeah.
Will this be your like official debut, or
yes. It'll be like the first official album that I'm going to do like really right, go into the studio, mm-hmm. get it professionally done, have it sound really good, try to get a big, you know, debut for it done. You know, I've put out albums in the past, but it's all just been stuff that I've done by myself in my house, in my basement, right. Kind of things like that.
Yeah. Well, we got a couple, like I said, got a couple we want to share with you and give you a little idea of what Rick's been working on. We wanted to share Dance With My Soul.
Sure.
Right? You want any stories you care to share around this song?
Dance With My Soul. Dance With My Soul, I almost always have like one song kind of like this that feels kind of like this. But Dance With My Soul is really, every time I start working on an album, I hit a point. I think anybody does this when they're working on something that means a lot to them. They hit that point where they're like, is this really worth doing? Should I be doing this? And Dance With My Soul was almost kind of more written for me to like stay positive about it and just, you know, don't worry about, you know, what the detractors might say or what the haters are going to say or what people are going to feel about that. And it is just a positive song that says you need to go out and you need to try, because there, you know, you get one life to live. Do what you want to do. Do what you love.
Yeah, man. I think that's a great message for anybody, man.
Yeah.
Get out there and just do it.
To He said he never meant to stare. Something about the rain playing off her hair. He said he swore she lit the ground on fire. Just one kiss on his lips, said he'd never been high.
Well, you can come see Rick and the trio, the Rick Killian Trio, at Blueberry Hill in the Duck Room on August 18th. Yep. Your tickets are available at blueberryhill.com. And you said you got a special opening act.
Yeah.
This is some buddies of the show.
Yeah.
Jim Peters and Phil Spanky Manalis will be opening up the show.
Yeah, I'm lucky to be good friends with Spanky and know Jim pretty well, so they agreed to do the opening set. So I'm super excited to hear that. We were talking about it. I'm withheld asking them what they're doing,
sure.
So I'm super excited to see what they bring. Knowing I mean they can do anything. So
yeah, I've seen those guys play in a ton of different aspects, and you know, they're pros all the way around. And
yeah.
It's gonna be interesting to see what they pull off as a duo. It's definitely gonna be fun.
Yeah.
But you might recognize those guys from the Provels, or they jam with Sean Cannon a lot on Wednesday nights.
Yep. Yeah, they're always helping out down there. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where we got to real good friends down there. With me working at Oyster Bar, I was I get to see them down there quite a bit, and so it was fun to get to become real good buddies with those guys now.
Yeah, they're killer. Jim Peters is one of my favorite guitar players ever, and then Spanky. And Spanky was one of the first people in St. Louis that gave me my first professional gig, and so I've been playing with Spanky for, he probably doesn't want me to tell you this, but I've been playing with Spanky, I think, for 10 years now. It's coming up on 10 years.
Yeah.
So a lot of what I learned about playing piano and playing keys was from stealing things that Spanky does. So
it was that was in, I mean, I don't know a ton about the the dueling piano world. Mm-hmm. And it was really, you know, intriguing to me to sit and talk with him for a while about what he's up to. And, you know, I mean, again, he's does a lot of different stuff, Mom's Kitchen and everything else too. And but to get to kind of talk about that world that he's a part of. So you guys been, you said 10 years been doing that together?
Yeah, I think I auditioned for him, I think, when I was like 19, and I'm 29 now. So, yeah, it's got to be like 10 years. Yeah. Yeah, it was dueling pianos is an interesting, like, dynamic in the world of music. It's unlike anything else I've ever done. It's, you know, completely spontaneous. It's crazy. I don't know how to really describe it, honestly. You get good at it just from, like, after doing it for a while, but just having people come up every night and ask for whatever they want, you know, and you walk on stage and have no idea what someone's going to ask for, what the first song's going to be, and you kind of just have to be ready to go with it. And, you know, it's made me a much better musician. It's skyrocketed my playing. I would love to see what 19-year-old me would think of 29-year-old me.
Sure.
I mean, just 10 years of playing alone. But then, you know, I think when I was 19, I knew like 30 songs, and now I know 700 to 1,000 songs or something off the top of my head.
Right.
So it's really fun. It's really cool getting to play with. I'm lucky that I play with Spanky and work with him, because he only gets really good guys. So my entire professional career with him, I've always been challenged, you know, because especially playing with Spanky and one of the other guys we play with, it's always, I hear him do something and I'm like, oh, I gotta figure that out, or I hear another guy do something, I gotta figure that out. And when I first started doing it, it was playing with different people like every week. He would bring, the place we're playing at would bring in, you know, people from all over the country. And so I was getting to play with guys from all over the country, getting to play with guys that, you know, may do studio work down in Nashville, getting to play with guys that, you know, worked out on the East Coast, West Coast, all over the place. And it was just, you know, as a 19, 20-year-old, I'm sitting there getting my butt kicked on stage every night. And it's, you know.
And that's like, let alone playing, but you got to sing all the songs too. So
right.
So you got to know all the lyrics to 700 something songs or whatever.
Well, and that's, I think, and that's what's, from a songwriter perspective, I've always really, I probably haven't thought about it as much as I should have, but learning all those songs, you know, that's a great way to get better at songwriting, because I'm learning all these songs from different genres. Mm-hmm. And you see how they're pieced together and how, you know, the forms these songs take and all this other stuff. And it's really interesting seeing, you know, how did Van Morrison write a song, or how does this song work because it's a Van Morrison song, versus how does, you know, a Motown song work because it's the Jackson 5 or whatever, or, you know, an R&B song or a funk song or a jazz tune. You know, it's interesting seeing how similar everything is, but the subtleties that make it its own little piece. So
yeah, I don't know, like, one of my bucket list type of stuff is to write a song to have it recorded and stuff. Like, it's just kind of a goal, and not that I'm not really that goal that I've been like steadily working towards or anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I wanted to actually write, I could probably sit down and do it, but it's just something eventually I'd love to have somebody record one of my songs or something like that. Just kind of a huge fan of singer songwriters and stuff too. It's one of those things, like, you know, kind of saying how knowing all those songs, like, and knowing those, helping you as an artist to write, like, my problem is, like, I listen to all these songs, but when I go to write, like, all I hear, all that comes out is everybody else's lyrics, you know? I'm like,
oh, absolutely.
You know, so it's like, it's hard to kind of shut that part of your brain off, like, you know, no, that's a Led Zeppelin song, you know, already.
And, yeah, that's from, I get that from both a music standpoint and a lyric standpoint. I start writing something and I go, oh, nope, that's, you know, that's a John Mayer song, I can't use that. Or right. I start playing a lick and I'm like, no, that's a, you know, Elton John did that, I can't do that. And it is hard, it's super hard when you have that library of, you know, riffs and lyrics and all this stuff, and you to try to come up with something that's original. And part of it is just kind of understanding that, hey, it's 2017 and there's been music since, you know, the dawn of time. Right. So nothing I do is going to be 100% original. And then the other thing is learning to not self-edit when you're doing it. So, like, getting into the groove and just writing it and not caring if it sounds like something else or whatever, and just getting it all out, and then you can go back later and edit it. But that's hard.
Sure.
And it took a long time to get comfortable with that idea of not going, oh, that's right, I love you so much because you're so amazing, and being like, that's terrible, write it, scratch this out, start over again. Even if it is terrible, you know,
right.
Just go with it.
Yeah. One of my favorite things about following Spanky online is the request that he gets.
Yeah.
And, like, he posts pictures of those, and most of them are pretty ridiculous, and, like, is there, do you have fun with that too, like he does? And
I would say follow Spanky because he posts the ones that we all see, and it's exactly, you can't make it up. It really is, and you see it every night. You get the standard ones where it's like, play Piano Man by Elton John, and you're like, Piano Man by Elton John,
right.
Or Tiny Dancer by Billy Joel.
Yeah.
You know, you get, like, the standard ones, but when people, like, there's occasionally you get the ones that are, like, really far out there,
right.
That he has on, if you just go, I think he's got them all, like, in, a Facebook, like, photo album, too.
Yeah.
I think they're all in their own album. You can go through there, and there's some that are just... like so ridiculous that I'm like, I can't believe someone thought that was that. And
sure.
So
well, and I don't know, like, not that I expect everybody to know everything about music, like, as much as me and you,
mm-hmm.
or whatever, but it's like, but still, it's like some of that stuff, you like, it's, you just kind of shake your head at it. It's like, yeah.
What I always loved was is you become an interpreter of song requests, because inevitably,
yeah,
like, maybe 50% of the time, people don't ask for a song title. They ask for a lyric in the song.
Sure.
So Don't Stop Believin' will turn into, like, Just a Small Town Girl. And you're like, what is Just a Small Town Girl by Journey? Oh, never mind. You want Don't Stop Believin'. So it becomes, like, stuff like that. And you're like, those are the ones that are kind of, that I kind of,
sure.
like and are my head scratcher. Because occasionally you get, like, you know, everybody has that trigger for a song, whether it's that line that you have to hear to think of what the rest of the lyrics are. But occasionally people just go, like, super far out there. You know, like Obla Di Obla Da could be, like, Desmond Has a Borrow. And you're like, what is Desmond Has a Borrow by the Beatles? You know?
Right.
And so, it just...
Sure.
I love those. Those are always fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like you said, man. That's one of my favorite parts. Is just watch it. And then, of course, you get your wagon wheels or whatever.
Right.
All the other songs that everybody hates getting requested.
Right.
But I mean, that's part of the thing, though. Like, you know, as the entertainment for the evening, you have to be on. You have to be. You know, it's a party every time,
right.
You're out there, and like you, so you have to be ready to play everything that these people want to hear and stuff. And
yeah.
It's like. That's kind of, I always find that kind of weird. It's like, it's not, you know, again, your own show, you control that, like,
right.
But it's like, when you go out there, same thing with comedy and stuff, I mean, like, it's still, you still got to bring the energy and have fun with them and
right.
stuff, because people are there, it's a birthday party or a bachelor party or whatever or something,
yeah,
know?
And that's what, you know, we always like to say whenever, you know, Spanky and I are talking about it, we always like to say, it may be the 7,000th time I've played Tiny Dancer
right.
or Wagon Wheel, but... So maybe only the 20th time they've heard it,
sure.
you know, or something. They want to hear it because they don't hear it every day. They don't, you know, they don't listen to it. They don't play it 5 times a week,
yeah.
you know. And as a songwriter, we always joke, you know, that's the goal. Your goal is to be like, I hope someday I hate playing one of my songs as much as I hate playing Wagon Wheel.
Right.
You know? That would be like, that's success for a song.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's something I think about a lot. Like, you know, you look at a guy like... Mick Jagger or something, you know, who's been doing it for
right.
50 something whatever years or longer, whatever it is, but like, you know, does he get sick every time he has to sing, you know, Start Me Up or whatever,
right.
you know, it's like, I mean, like, you know, but they go out there every time and they sing it like it's the first time,
right.
and it's like, it's just, I don't know, like...
Yeah, I mean, you go to a Paul McCartney concert and you hear, you know, Maybe I'm Amazed, or you hear Let It Be, it's like, he puts just as much emotion into that as the day he, or at least it seems like he puts just as much emotion
right.
into Let It Be as, you know, the first time they ever played that live, and, you know, he's got to, you know, they were touring like 360
sure.
days a year back in the heyday, so, you know, he was playing at least 360 times a year.
Sure, well, and then you think, too, like, let alone, I've realized, too, like, how, like, you know, getting more involved in all this, but, like, all the radio appearances and stuff promoting the shows
yeah.
and all that stuff. Like, sometimes they'll do a couple different things. So they might sing that song a couple times that morning, promoting their appearance
uh-huh.
that night, you know, and it's like that kind of stuff. You know, those guys probably sing that song a ton and, like, you know, all that stuff. But.
You get into that, and as like a performer too, sometimes doing it multiple times a day almost feels better, because like, you know, one of the things that we try to do when I was doing dueling pianos, or when I do dueling pianos, one of the things we try to do is if you're doing like a 3-hour show, you try not to repeat any songs, right? So every song is unique for that night. And if you know you're going to do like a show in the morning and then a show in the afternoon, it's always kind of funny because the shows will run together and you're like, wait, did we already play Brown Eyed Girl? Can I play it again now? But it becomes nice because you're like, okay, I played all these 50 in the morning. Now I'm just going to play these 50 again. Right. And you don't have to like think of another 50 to do. But yeah, I mean, I can't imagine like, you know, being in the Beatles and promoting it. And like you said, you play Let It Be for this radio station. And then you have to do the promo for this radio station. And then you have to go do your sound check. And then you have to do like your pre-show with all the fans. And they want to hear Let It Be. And then you're going to do the actual show. And then you're going to have to play Let It Be for real.
Right.
For real. Yeah. In quotes, right? So, yeah, I can't. Someday, maybe. Hopefully, I can come back later in life and be like, I know what it's like now.
Yeah. Man, if I have to sing Dance With My Soul one more time. You know.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Yeah. Well, like I said, we got another tune we want to share. Maybe this will be the one. Maybe this will be the song that takes off for you. This, you were thinking this might be also the title of the record?
Yeah, so the record...
Electric Love?
Yeah, so the record, I think, is going to be called Electric Love. I like that sound.
That's what you're leaning towards?
Yeah, I like the sound. I think it sounds good. For some reason, it reminds me of Jimi Hendrix, which I'm completely cool with being associated with Jimi Hendrix. So,
I mean, that guy did all
right. Right, he did good. Yeah. He did good, so... Yeah, I like it. I like the imagery it posts out there, so Electric Love, and then the song is Wild Electric Love, so yeah.
Yeah, so you got anything around Wild Electric Love, how this kind of came to be?
Wild Electric Love was me completely butchering a Ben Folds song. I was trying to learn a Ben Folds song, and it was completely... I was trying to just learn it from my head. I was like, I know how this song goes, and I just started playing it. And I was like, that's not how that song goes, but I like that riff. And so the entire song just came out of that riff, and then... I was pulling different pieces. So the thing I like about Wild Electric Love is as you listen to it, you can hear different little bits in that song. You get the main kind of rock part, pop rock part at the beginning. You get the core, or you get the bridge, which is, the chorus is kind of funky. The bridge is a little bit of, you know, kind of Maroon 5-ish, R&B-ish kind of stuff. There's a little like disco thing in there on the breakdown. There's a piano solo. It was just written as like a fun song, and it's fun to play, and the band and I really like doing it, so.
Yeah, man.
Sights and sounds you throw shake away my blues. But when you get close,
again, you can come see that one August 18th, and that'll be, like I said, with a trio.
Yep.
So it's going to be a little different than the recording. You're going to get a little, you're going to get the rhythm section with
it. Oh yeah, it hits. I think it hits pretty hard on the demo. It hits way harder with them. Yeah, my drummer and my bass player, like I said, it took me a long time to put the trio together because I waited until I found guys that I really jived with and guys that I thought were really good at, you know, musicians. And Evan, my drummer, and Sean, my bass player, they're killer, and they really added a lot to the demo on that. So
yeah, man. Well, that sounds like a whole lot of fun down there. And again, like with the opening act, we'll see those guys too. We'll get the.
I'm telling you, I'm excited for that.
what are you thinking, man? Maybe the record's coming out early next year. Would you like to, you thinking of hitting the road or doing anything like that, or are you?
I've thought about doing some kind of like regional shows, hitting some of the bigger cities, you know, like Chicago, Nashville, some of that stuff. My goal right now is just to build the following in St. Louis, though. I really, you know, I may have moved here when I was 14, but I've really fallen in love with this city ever since then. And from a musical standpoint, it's my hometown, you know, and it's so much of the music scene, so much of the musicians that came here are part of my sound and part of who I am as a musician. So really trying to build up the following here, and then that may spawn a little mini tour or everything, but trying to balance everything and doing it. Yeah. We'll see where that goes.
Yeah.
We'll see where that goes.
I mean, we've joked about it on this show enough, too, how, like, St. Louis is almost big enough to tour just itself. Like,
absolutely.
Mean, like, there's so many different, you know, we are one city, but, like, there's so many different pockets.
Right.
Like, where people, like, don't even, like, cross those lines, you know, especially, like, if you go out in St. Charles, people don't like to cross that river over, you know,
right,
in the county and stuff. Like, so
I will do that.
Yeah, but like, it is funny to me how many people like, you know, that kind of stuff like that. Though it's like, you know, you can go play whatever Blueberry Hill on Del Mar, and then you can play something like down on Broadway or what. You know, there's all these different venues all over, but people like don't. There's different demographics and different fan base that go to those clubs that don't go to a lot of other clubs. And
well, yeah, that's, you know, on the 18th I got the show at the Duck Room at Blueberry Hill, and then in December, we just moved it to December. In December I have a show at Sky Music Lounge, which is out in Baldwin.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's two completely different locations, you know.
Sure.
And like you said, you know, you really could tour everything. There's, you know, I live down in Jefferson County, and there's little venues down there. They're in my neck of the woods, and it's completely different, you know, demographics.
Sure.
All over the place. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I just talked to some guys from Festus area, and like, you know, they come up to St. Louis and stuff, but I got a lot of friends that are going down there to Festus to play, and like, you know, it's like I said, you can go to these different little towns where there's a venue to play, and
yep,
and you know, get good, you can tour St. Louis. So,
yeah.
So, but like I said too, you know, we are right in the middle of the map. It's nice to, you know, now a couple hour drive to another
else. And that's kind of the other beauty of St. Louis is you're within 4 or 5 hours of some major places to go play. You know, you drive 4 hours, 5 hours north, you're in Chicago. You drive 5 hours south, you're in Nashville. You drive 5 hours west, you're in Kansas City. You know, you got and everywhere in between. So, you know, you got all these great places. And I've thought about that. I've thought about, you know, creating some little mini like regional tour that I could do.
Yeah.
Hit a few shows on the weekend or whatever. And
yeah, man. I think it'd be, you know, even if it doesn't go, you know, like whatever, huge or whatever, but
right,
it's like, it's still fun to like just get to plant the seed kind of thing, you know.
Right.
Like maybe there's only a couple people at that show, but maybe they'll tell two friends and so,
right,
you know, whatever, that
yeah,
whole thing. So
And that's the process now, is just building up the fan base, getting the word out there, you know, letting people know who I am, what my music is, what it sounds like.
Definitely.
Let people make their own decision about it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you can get online. You can follow Rick on Facebook to keep up with all those dates there, and Instagram is the big one. You can get on there too and see what all the pictures and stuff. And
yeah.
But yeah, that's a big part of it now. You got to have all the social media going, and it's a big part of this thing.
Yeah, social media. I need to be better at social media. I keep saying that, and then I'm always inevitably terrible at social media. But yeah, Instagram I like because I get to do the little videos and everything. And then If you follow me on Instagram, if you follow me on Facebook, I post I try to post same things everything, so you'll catch it no matter where you're at. But Instagram, I kind of like the whole format of it.
The videos are fun, like the fact that you can quick little minute long. I think that's, I do like that better than the Snapchat is only 10 seconds.
Right.
It's kind of hard to, but at least a minute you can kind of actually capture something.
Yeah, so. And on Instagram, and you can do the live video on Instagram, you can do the live video on Facebook. You know, if you follow me on Facebook, or if you follow me on Instagram too, a lot of times when I go, if I go do like a dueling piano gig, I'll start Facebook live or something. Catch me on that stuff.
Yeah,
so.
Man. And that's all through Spanky Entertainment, right?
All the dueling piano stuff I go with through Spanky Entertainment. Yeah.
Guys said you're doing a little more private party kind of stuff right now.
We're doing a lot more private events, fundraisers, corporate events, things like that. But if you go, you can go to their website too, and they have their calendar on there, and you can always find where all of us are playing.
Yeah, you can either book the pianos through there, or you can if you want Rick to come play your club.
That's right.
Yeah, give him a call.
Yep.
Yeah. This has been cool. Hopefully, we'll get this record out soon, and I'm excited to hear what. You're the finished product, man.
I'm excited for you to hear it.
Yeah, man. Well, this has been a ton of fun getting to hang, get to meet you, and getting to know a little more about what you're up to. So I will.
I appreciate you having me on here, man. Like I said, it's getting the name out, letting people know, you know, that I exist.
You're
huge in the St. Louis music scene, so I appreciate you taking your time to talk to little old me.
I'm just a guy, man. I'm just hustling, trying to make something happen, and it means the world to me that people are, you know, even listening. Like the fact that, you know, all I'm doing is trying to help my friends out, and people seem to be digging it. So,
well, the great thing about the St. Louis music scene is there's people like you, there's promoters like you, there's, you know, booking people like you that are willing to take chances and talk to people and get names out there.
Yeah, definitely, man. We all got to help each other.
Right.
That's all. That's how this whole thing works.
Yeah.
Man.
We're all in there to have a good time and listen to good
definitely.
Music.
Definitely. Yeah. Well, cool, man. Well, thanks again, Rick. I'll see you soon, man.
Yeah.
Have a good day.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.